Succession number 20134, Reel 4.
In Reel 4. Did you go out to find the plane?
No, I never went out. They found the bodies, and our officer insisted that the Japanese gave them a full military funeral in the Japanese cemetery that was in Palembang. I should imagine the graves are still there. Well, then. A few days later, of course, this Indian signalman got in touch with Colombo again and told him what had happened. They eventually, two or three days later, they sent another plane and dropped supplies to us. And then we were still there a month, 5 weeks. And then they arranged for, that was an Australian Red Cross decoupter, to land at the Japanese military airfield, which is about 15 miles outside of Palembang. And that was going to bring supplies and then take so many back. So this plane land, and do you know who was on board? Lady Mountbatten. And she actually came into the camp to see for herself, you know, the state of the camp and this, that, and the other, you know, and everything that was going on. And they unloaded the stuff off the plane and took about a dozen POWs that were sick back to Singapore. A couple of days later, the plane came back again with some more supplies and took some more back. Then it went back, two or three days later it came back to Palembang till there was about 15 hours left. And they land this plane and they wanted to take 10. So they said, well, you can't take 10 and leave 5 people behind. So the pilot said, well, we'll see if we can take the lot. He said, it's a bit dicey. He said, but save another trip. So we goes, gets in this lorry to go up to the airport. The remainder of us in the camp. And before we left, we set fire to the bloody camp. We gets up to the airport where this Red Cross decoupter is. That was white. I always remember standing on the runway in the middle of the jungle, completely surrounded by jungle. And we all crammed into this decoupter, and the pilot took off, and he got three quarters of the way down the runway, and all of a sudden he come to a halt. He said, "No, I don't." He said, "Too much weight. I don't think we can take off." He said, "But I'll have another try." He said, "Everybody up the front of the aircraft, so that the tail will rise." So we all climbed up the front of the tail, and I'd never flown before in my life. And I said to myself, like 3.5 years of prisoner of war, surely him go bloody well die in a plane crash. And this plane, I hurled down the blooming runway, and only as you could feel the tail lift, and it gradually took off, and you always was shutting it, and you opened them up, and the plane was just, you could see the tops of the trees just above. And away we went to Singapore. We landed in Singapore. We get to Singapore, but dinner time had give us a meal, and they said, you're going home to the UK tonight. There's a boat in Singapore, you're on it tonight. And 2 hours before the boat was due to sail, what happens? I go down with malaria. Miss the bloody boat.
Did you?
In hospital.
Did you have to serve the rest of your 12 years?
Oh, yes, yes.
Were you in any conflicts after the war?
No, not really. And not only did I to serve the rest of my 12, but when I was due for release after 12 years, the Korean War broke out, and I was automatically on the reserve, so they wouldn't let me out, so I finished up by doing 14 years.
But you didn't go to Korea?
I didn't go to Korea, no, I didn't go, but I was on the aircraft carriers Illustrious. So I finished up doing 14 years. And what did I get for them 14 years? Nothing. No pension, no nothing.
So do you regret having joined the Marines?
No, I've no regret. I've done what I had to do. But I often think now of how the military are treated now to how we were treated. The army now, married quarters, everything. They get on, they on a tour, 3 months tour. And what happens? The wives are crying the eyes out. Oh, my poor husband, he's away. What did he join up for? Nearly four years I was away. And my mother was, I wasn't married at the time, but my mother was, I was posted as missing, presumed dead. You see him now on Armistice Day. This is on tape and I don't care a damn. You see royalty out there, all the generals, the admirals and everybody come out of the Home Office at 1 minute to 11. They stand there, they lay their wreaths, and there'd be someone go up and say, at the going down of the sun and in the morning we will remember them. And they all stand there and we will remember them. 2 minutes later they're in the Home Office drinking gin and tonics. They forgot everything about it, didn't they? 2 minutes later, they don't care. They support all soldiers, the sailors and the airmen, lining up the streets of Whitehall. They've been there for about 4 or 5 hours, it's belting down with rain. They ain't care a damn it about them, do they? And all, the most I ever earned in the forces was 6 shillings a day, 30 pence. No, they're on about 50 pence, 50 pound an hour, 50 pence a day, aren't they? And if they're away from home more than 3 months, they're crying the eyes out.